This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Oh, man. So it's good to be back. We appreciate everybody who stuck around. Hopefully you enjoyed our, I don't even know what it was that time. We were just yelling. Josh told us we had hot mics, and then I forgot like 8 seconds later, and we were just yelling. Are you still watching? Hey, are we still watching this? It's going to turn off on us.
Oh, ugh. Let me turn it back on.
It's freaking amateur hour around here, guys. I don't even know what to tell you guys. Justin didn't have his mic in yet. We're talking over the hot mics.
This is what happens when you do live shows. You run them by yourself.
Union says, I think Siaki might be headed to the practice squad. It's kind of crazy to think that about a guy we just spent a third round draft pick on, but you would think if they're high on him, they don't go bring back Mo Hurst. You know what I mean? Like,
true. But at the same time, we kind of did that with Alex Wright. You know, we took him as a rookie, hardly played, if he even played at all. And then we drafted another edge rusher again last year in the draft. And it was like, okay, maybe Alex Wright isn't. And then, of course, Alex Wright was pretty damn good last year. So
we have the edge rusher we took last year. We took later.
It's like fourth round. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know it wasn't a second round pick.
So
for the draft yesterday, what do you guys think of Caleb Williams? I'm just getting curious of your thoughts on him. Like, so, I always make fun of the guy. I kind of like say he's like the Bo Callahan of the draft, just because people don't like his attitude. I really don't know. I don't watch a lot of USC games. So, I mean, he seems like he passes the test as before when you look at a quarterback. But
I think some people, the people who are screaming that he's going to be a bust, I think are just people that don't like his attitude. Mm. The best way I heard him described a while back was he's the first Gen Z quarterback. Mm. We're just not used to seeing Gen Z people like play football yet. And it was like, hey, people are kind of right. That's kind of what the Gen Zers are like. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what 21 years old kids are now these days, I guess. I think he's good at football. Go ahead.
No, I was, well, I wanted to throw in my two cents on Caleb also, but I wanted to say not me. I'm not a part of that group. But that's my biggest thing with Caleb is I think he is a victim of his own hype. Like, the dude has been very, very good for a long, long time, going back to Oklahoma and even before then. There's nothing on the field that he can't do. And listen, he's played at a high level every year he's been in college. I know he's not had the clutch moments or anything like that, and that's a fair argument. But I think Caleb Williams gets all the hate he gets because he's a weirdo. Like, he's just a flat-out weirdo. And that's the sole reason why people hate him. People want to say he's not a tough guy, he's not a football guy. But I've watched him on third and short take a QB draw and spin out and fight for extra yards. I've seen him extend plays and fight his ass off to make a play. So, yeah, he's a weirdo. But guess what? J.J. McCarthy has a therapist on the sideline. So I don't hear anybody bitching about him, but everybody wants to throw a fit about Caleb Williams. It's absurd to me.
I have another analogy besides him being weird, which is really funny and kind of true. Kyrie Irving of football. All the talent, show up, can ball out. Mm. He got some really crazy ideas and just, you know,
puts them out there.
You think the earth is flat?
You'll take him on the field. You'll take him, you know. Thank you, Kyrie, for the one ring that we have. Thank you.
Very appreciative. Very appreciative.
But when you look at it, it's kind of like that Kyrie thing. Okay, he's good. But is he, like Kyrie, is he going to be worth the headache? Is he going to not want to show up to work today? Is he going to, you know, argue with somebody on Twitter about something? We haven't seen Caleb do that. That's just something I thought of when I brought up, you know, whole weird thing. I was like, a little bit of Kyrie Irving there.
I won't, until he says there's no dinosaurs and the earth is flat, I'll think he's not going to do that.
I will challenge that dinosaur yeah. thing because I love Jurassic Park and I'm very firm on that.
The big knock on him, and I want to see where you guys stand, is the game where they lost and he went and cried on his mom. And people are like some people, that is just like, it is the worst thing anybody's ever done. You would have thought he went over there and punched a baby. You know what I mean?
I'm not big on crying, man. It drives me nuts.
But. So where do you, like, is that just a deal breaker because he cried on his mom when they lost a football game?
So it's more so because he cried on his mom, because we've seen Michael Jordan cry. We've seen Kevin Garnett cry. We all watched LeBron cry. But the issue is because he cried on his mom after losing. If he would have won and was crying on his mom, would we be having the same conversation?
For sure not. It would have been like, yeah, just look at the raw emotion. He puts everything into it.
All these guys cried on their moms last night when they got drafted, so I don't know.
It's fair, bro.
That's a good point, Kenny.
He cried after the game. It's not like he was crying, you know, in the middle of the game and couldn't get back out on the field. It's just whatever, you know. If the camera hadn't caught it, and it wasn't blasted all over social media, would people care? Would it change the way people evaluate him?
Like, it's one of those things that I'm obviously going to make jokes about and think is funny. But I, at the same time, it's like, I don't think it's that serious. Some people are like, ugh, he's just the worst of the humans because he cried to his mom after the game. And I'm just like, if my mom was ever there for me, I'd probably cry too. Sorry, mom. I'm just kidding. She's a very loving, caring woman. Yes, yeah. Up, Leica. Yeah. So, but yeah, up, so bro? I was just like, man, it's like, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And I think the only thing that matters to NFL players is can you do it on the field? And if you can 100%. Perform on the, I mean, these guys play with people who are more like questionable in way worse ways than crying on your mom after you lost a football game. And they don't care as long as you can go out and perform and produce on the football field.
I think he just did a lot of things too, like pre-draft, like the whole, hey, this is the five teams that I'm going to play for. Or else.
I think the team.
I think he just kind of rubbed people the wrong way. Now, like if you go out and you perform and he's set up to be successful, like if he goes out there and, let's say they make the playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to be like, well, hey, 2 years ago he cried on his mom. They're going to be like, hey, we're in the playoffs. I don't think they care. I think it all just comes down to production and what he does moving forward.
I like Ian that says he's a bear. Why defend him? Dude is a sensitive clown with a laughing face emoji, which made me laugh. Yeah, F him. So the Ravens took a tackle, Rosengarten.
Good pick.
You've seen every division team now take an offensive lineman.
Yes.
The Myles Garrett and the Browns D-line effect.
Yeah. And then what did we do in response?
We went
another D-lineman.
Took more defensive linemen. It's like the AFC North, it just next level.
Hey, man, keep taking rookies. I like Myles' chances against a rookie, so keep doing it.
We do have a trade.
What is it?
The Chiefs are on the clock again.
Yeah, I see that. How far did they move up? Watch them coming in for another receiver.
Yeah, Troy Franklin.
Did they just swap spots with the
Niners? That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Oh, Ian, we wanted to talk about Pearsall.
Okay.
So here's another thing, too. Oh, they just took the tackle out of BYU.
Oh, okay.
Where do you guys, so the Niners, they draft a receiver, which people are saying it's kind of sealed the fate. First you heard it was they were shopping Ayuk and Debo. I'm hearing that it's Debo. That Debo's on is not going to be there.
So I heard that they were shopping him to New England, and this was supposed to happen before New England picked today, but this didn't happen now.
Why do they want to get rid of
him? I think just money.
Cap space. They've got a lot of money tied up.
They just paid him. Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
You just paid him. It would have been a lot easier to trade him. Probably if you would have traded him before you paid him.
Whenever we did that show talking about should the Browns try to make a trade for Brandon Ayuk a few months ago, I talked about all the cap that they had tied up in Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, and CMC. That's four offensive weapons that have among the highest paid at their position. And it's just something's got to give, because now Ayuk wants that big second contract. If they give it to him, they're going to have to offload somebody else. So the people that say the cap isn't real, I get it, but it does have its effects. It does make an impact on.
It depends on how cash flush your owner is.
This is true too.
You have to pay them sometime. Like, you can't just keep pushing it back.
And
it all comes at some point.
But I'm curious, like, when they don't have Debo, they're not the same team.
No.
So do you find it interesting that they're willing to part ways with him over Ayuk?
I don't. I think Brandon Ayuk is the guy you keep. He's the better all around player, and Debo Samuel's great. He plays a unique role for them. And there's a lot of teams that try to find a Debo, right? You could argue the Browns did that last year with Elijah Moore. We tried to use him in different ways, but the thing is, if you're the 49ers, you have Brock Purdy on a 7th round rookie contract. You're not going to have that forever. And listen, if you can get some value for one of your assets, you do it. And I like Ricky Pearsall, don't get me wrong, but is he a first round draft pick? Hell no. I don't think he's a first rounder. But they've kind of backed themselves into a hole now where, maybe it's not draft capital for this year, but maybe a team is desperate and willing to trade some capital for next year's draft. It just makes too much sense for me. If you're the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk is your number one. He just is. And I think Debo is unique. I think Debo is a really good receiver. But you just can't let Ayuk walk out that door. You just can't.
We had a good comment here in the YouTube comments. Ashton the Joker wants to know if there's any picks from last year that are going to have an impact on the team this coming season. So just a refresher for who all we took last year, for you guys who might not remember. We took Cedric Tillman in the third. We took Siaki Ika, who we've touched on, DeJuan Jones, Isaiah McGuire, DTR, Cam Mitchell, and Luke Whipler.
DeJuan Jones?
No, so here, call me crazy. DeJuan Jones might not make an impact this year.
This is an interesting thing that's going to be fun to watch all summer, because I don't know how you keep him off the field.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're just going to replace him with when Harris left and get him as a fullback and backup, or
it's one of those things where if Jack Conklin's healthy, you got to think Jack Conklin's going to start.
Yeah,
Jack Conklin could be a post June 1st trade. I know that's doesn't true. Make a whole lot of sense right now, but.
Or that, if they're both on the roster, I would say Conklin started. That's just the way I would think.
I think that Cam Mitchell will probably make a little more of an impact this year, rotating in with the top three cornerbacks, because I liked what I saw out of him last year. And obviously, later round rookie, but he showed some flashes. I would like to see what Isaiah McGuire can do in a rotation on that, defensive line. And Cedric Tillman, at this point, we didn't use the second round pick on a wide receiver. So if we do take one, it's going to be third rounder later. Cedric Tillman's coming into that second year of his career, and he was very productive in college. I thought he was going to, he's got very good upside.
Well, we know who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Luke Whipler. It's not going to be Dorian Thompson-Gray.
Well, the thing with Luke Whipler, though, God forbid you get an injury like what happened to Conklin. Now, all of a sudden, he might step in. I like Luke Whipler.
He was playing guard for a bit, too, though, was he not?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, this could be him. You're right.
But I see what you're saying. Like, he's definitely backup this year going in.
So with Cedric Tillman, he's going to have an impact, because when you look at the Browns wide receiver room right now, Amari Cooper is your number one. He's a route runner. Great. Jerry Jeudy, he's got a speed threat to him. He's the route runner. Elijah Moore, kind of the same thing as Jeudy. It's just a little bit different there. Elijah Moore is more of a slot. Okay, let's look at our wide receiver room then. Who's left? Who's your ex receiver? It's Cedric Tillman. Cedric Tillman is your ex receiver. So he's going to get playing time. And, you know, the Browns traded Donovan Peoples-Jones halfway through the year last year, hoping that Tillman was going to be able to step into that role. And I think people are giving up on Tillman way too much. If you look at Tillman's average depth of target in at Tennessee, he was used a lot more downfield, jump ball 50-50 situations. I just don't think he's had a fair chance to be evaluated as a member of the Cleveland Brown. And don't forget, he was coming off of a significant injury heading into the season. So, and as far as your question, like, who's going to have an impact, Tillman has to, because he's the only receiver currently in this room as a that play style, as a big X receiver.
And on top of what you're saying is he had to go through five quarterbacks as a rookie. I don't think any of the quarterbacks had any trust in him, and it was due to probably lack of rapport. We do know that he ran the wrong route sometimes, and that served up some nice pick sixes, unfortunately for Joe Flacco. That's not an easy transition for a young receiver to go through, and those are a really good point.
I could be way off here, but I honestly, unless there's a barring an injury, like, I don't see him getting a lot of playing time. We just traded. We're talking about DPJ getting traded, but then we brought in a guy that I think is an improvement over Tillman right now. And I don't, unless he maybe bumps Elijah Moore off the field, I don't think so. I mean, Njoku's still going to be out there. Like, I think they roll Cooper. I think they roll Jerry Jeudy. I think Elijah Moore's out there, and then you have Njoku.
Browns being in a lot of four wide receiver sets, though.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be wearing
it out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to throw that out there, too. What you just said, Blake, with the whole new offense, Ken Dorsey coming in, all you've heard is an attacking offense, for whatever you think that means. The Browns are going to attack downfield more. And when, like I said, go back to college. I know it's college, but Tillman was used downfield a lot of deep around. I think it was like 16 yards was his average depth of target in college. And another thing, too, I think the Browns will draft a receiver. I want the Browns to draft a receiver. However, when you look at the guys who are remaining on the board, right, Jermaine Burton, Troy Franklin, guys like that, Roman Wilson, are any of those guys big jump ball receivers? No. They're not. So Tillman is the only guy on the roster as it currently stands who fits that mold. So that's why I think I don't know how you can't get him involved more.
49ers took Renardo Green. This is a corner I kind of had an eye on for the Browns a little bit, mostly because of his strength is playing press man. And turns out that's what the Browns like to do. So this is a guy kind of I had in a couple of my mock drafts. I took him. I know the dude out of Mississippi State still out there. Yeah, I like him camera. Also.
Yeah. Yes.
This person said, Dwan played Watt better than anyone I've seen on the offensive line. Can you really keep him off the field? I don't disagree. I just think Jack Conklin is like a former All-Pro. He's making more money. And I don't – like, do you just bench him? That's a lot of money to just put on your bench. The money plays.
I think it's funny that we're having this whole conversation about offensive tackles and talking about DeJuan and Conklin, and no one's mentioned Jed Wills yet. And you got three starting tackles, and he's clearly the worst of the three.
Only left tackle.
I know.
And you're not, Jack Conklin's definitely not.
No, you're not moving him.
And if they were going to move DeJuan Jones left tackle, they would have started that. Probably. I think they put him over there a couple times. He didn't look overly comfortable. It's not that easy of a switch. I think Jed Wills has shown like It's not that easy. You don't just play right tackle your entire life and then go play left tackle and it's like, oh, it's super easy. This isn't high school. Okay, Jed Wills was an extremely talented right tackle in college. He was Joe Thomas's favorite tackle coming out of the draft.
It's going to be a big pick here.
You already got the name?
Yeah, it's in the chat too. It popped up.
But, go for it. This is the Jets.
Oh, you know, man.
Yep.
And? Oh, wow. They took Malachi Corley.
Yep. Good pick by them.
Interesting. Aaron Rodgers some weapons. So somebody to pair with Garrett Wilson.
Franklin and, continues to Mike fall.
Williams.
For like at least a preseason game or two.
Yeah, until he gets hurt.
So guys, really quick on the Cedric Tillman conversation. Going back and looking at Deshaun Watson in Houston when they aired it out, he had Will Fuller. Will Fuller is 6'1". 187, I think, round 200 maybe. Cedric Tillman is bigger than him. So if they're going to use him in that downfield, which they should, 50-50 ball, he's going to have that impact. He has to have that impact. Or he won't be here next year.
But the guy from the Houston, what was his name that you just said?
Will Fuller.
Mm-hmm. Fuller was a burner. Like, he had 4.3 speed. He was
crazy fast.
You're describing Franklin there. Like, that's where I see that. That's a great point. But I think Franklin would be the guy that you would want to do that exact thing.
Honestly, I mean, I think
DeAndre Hopkins, though, would be the 50-50 guy.
Exactly, because he's a little slower.
Yeah.
I think the Browns' biggest need on offense, and I've said this a million times, is speed. Like they're all fast, but none of them are, like, scare you fast.
Yeah, hallelujah, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm buying that.
Like, that to me,
Franklin.
We need somebody with Anthony Schwartz speed that has seen a football field.
That can catch.
You know what I mean? And I don't like picking on Anthony Schwartz too much because follow him on Twitter sometimes. And like, he seems like a nice kid. It just was like drafted way too early. We don't have any blow the top off the defense kind of speed. And corners can just sit on routes because of it.
Jerry Jeudy can do that. The problem is do you want him in that role? Which, you know,
I think he's going to operate in the slot a lot for the Browns. I really think that's going to be where he makes his home.
Right, because we talked about, they even said, like, Elijah Moore is pretty effective. At the end of the year, we saw him. They bumped him outside, out wide, and that's where he had his biggest impact.
I know he's not a draft pick, but if I'm thinking of somebody who we could see an uptick in his impact, I think Elijah Moore being here for a second year, hopefully playing with a healthy Deshaun for the whole season, and I think having a coaching staff that kind of knows his strengths now and know a bit, like, how to utilize him more efficiently, not make him a running back or a Debo Samuel, and like just let him play outside wide receiver. I think he could have, like, I look for him to have a lot bigger season this year than what he had last year, for sure.
Got another big pick in.
Goodwin's not on the team right now. He was a 1 year guy for E unit.
It's Braylon. Speak of the devil. He's probably going to drop those cards.
Well, I mean, nobody threw them to him, right?
Yeah, that's true.
This episode is presented by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, I don't know where you're at. It may or may not feel like it, but it is spring. And the Omaha Steaks spring sale is here. And it is the perfect time to get fired up for all your springtime grilling. 50% off site wide. These are the sales that I love to take advantage of, because it's the perfect time to grab everything from Omaha Steaks at half the price. And when you use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out, you get an additional $30 off your order. It's a deal that you just can't pass up. So head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. Order the perfectly aged tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, juicy burgers, incredible air chilled chicken, and all their delicious desserts, ready to eat meals, all this stuff. They've got appetizers and stuff too, guys. Chicken wings and mozz sticks and everything you could possibly want to stock up for a fantastic spring grilling season. 50% off site wide, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out for $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify.
So do you want to say you're I know on the TV, but we can people.
What do you got, Justin?
At 66, Arizona's taken Trey Benson.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I know a lot of, like, if you just follow, like, fantasy football circles and stuff like that, there was a lot of faith in the stability of James Conner's job.
Yes.
As the lead running back there. And this pick of Benson
maybe makes it interesting.
Changes that.
Yeah.
It's funny with Connor, though. Like, he always seems to be in the end zone. Like, he was always, like, a decent fantasy guy. And
for sure.
Everybody never seems to find a team long for some reason. But I guess it's injuries or I don't know.
I'm a big James Conner fan.
He played well last year at times, mm-hmm. I thought. What do we think Marvin Harrison's going to be like out in Arizona? Because I've been on this. I'm not a huge Kyler Murray fan.
I'm not either.
I'm not a huge Kyler Murray fan at all. But if anybody can make you look good, it's Maserati Marv.
Pretty nice.
That's the only time I'm saying it.
I think
they were even saying that fine. Shit last night on the pre-show. They're like, oh, we might even see a Maserati or two.
I love Gus Johnson. I like when he calls college games, it is awesome. But oh my God, it was even as an Ohio State fan, I was like, bro, can you just shut the fuck up with the Maserati Marv stuff? My God. I can't believe Joel Klatt never just punched him. But
so Blake.
Go ahead.
Larry Fitzgerald.
What about him?
Marvin Harrison.
Comp.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Man,
not exactly that. But like, if he's like a 99, Larry Fitz is a 99.
No, so Larry Fitzgerald's like one of the best receivers ever. My favorite Larry Fitzgerald stat is that he has more tackles in his career than drops.
That's insane.
Which is insane. But I think Marvin Harrison's a better athlete, isn't he?
Yes.
Like you know what I mean? So like, I think the sky's the limit for Marvin Harrison. Like, and you heard some people coming into the draft, like they started talking about how he wasn't going to be the first receiver taken, but Vegas knew. I don't know if you saw like the odds, he was plus 1200. Yeah. Everybody else was like minus 600. I'm like, I love the draft. Don't get me wrong. But some of the stuff that comes out like right before draft, like
smoke.
All of a sudden, oh, we don't know if this guy's any good. And they start, I'm like, guys,
yeah. CJ's dropped.
You know, that's another team I was going to mention. We talked about Minnesota kind of had a decent first round last night. Thought they came away with what they needed to come away with for their team. And I thought Arizona did pretty good too.
Because I did agree.
They come away with Marvin Harrison and Darius Robinson. Mm-hmm. And then so top end wide receiver, good edge rusher. And not only that, but this offseason, they really do get their quarterback back. I know Kyler came back during the season last year, but he wasn't fully back to his own. He's coming off that ACL. Like, you know how we talk about that all the time. It takes guys a little bit of time to really get back up to full speed. Dude, Arizona could be one of those teams this year that we're going, wow, they're contending for a playoff spot.
I think they have great pieces in play.
Yeah. I did hear the comparison from Larry Fitzgerald and Marvin Harrison Jr. But the comparison that I kind of, the way it was put was that they got the most complete receiver that they're ever going to get like Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a real comparison as far as like measurables and the type of receivers are going to be. Ultimately, the production will kind of be the same, but it'll maybe be in different ways.
I always hear like heading into it, the biggest comp was like AJ Green. I'm like,
yeah, I hear that
AJ Green is, man, really damn good.
Yeah, he was. I got sick of watching that guy two times every year.
I'm looking at best available again as we're inching closer to the Browns' next draft. We're about what, 20 picks away? Yeah, exactly 20 picks away now. Some of the top guys: Troy Franklin still available.
Yeah,
Peyton Wilson.
That boggles my mind.
Still available. Isaac edge rusher out of Penn State still available. Roman Wilson still available. Jatavion Sanders still available. Blake Corum still available. Tackle out of Yale is still available. Kieran.
Amagaji.
Oh my God, yeah, I can't believe we're all here right
there
now.
There you go. You got it. Well, we should draft him just to say stuff like that.
I know. Yeah. There'll be so many good puns. There's some good guys out there still.
I will say this about Troy Franklin. When I talked to Brian Bosarge a couple weeks ago, I asked him about Franklin, and I said, do you think he'll be available for the Browns at 54? Is that a guy they should be looking at? And he said, oh, he'll be available, and I bet you he falls even further, maybe even third round. I was like, dude, come on. I see him being locked in the first round of a lot of drafts, you know, here in their early second round of the Panthers and stuff like that. And here he is.
Brandon Coleman just got drafted.
Brandon Coleman, okay. Tackle guard, whatever, offensive lineman from TCU.
Just a badass of a man. It'll just knock you off your block.
So let's assume some of these. So, like, Troy Franklin, I know we're probably not going to take a linebacker, but this dude is the number one ranked linebacker.
Oh, Peyton?
Peyton Wilson.
He's 24 and he's had two ACL tears.
I'm telling you right now, he is off AP board, I promise you.
But the number four edge rusher is still out there. Roman Wilson's still out there. The number two tight end is still out there.
Who's the edge?
Adisa Isaac.
The Penn State guy.
Yeah,
TJ Tampa's still there.
Yes. Blake Corum is still available. The tackle out of Yale is still available. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's still available.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to stop doing that stuff. So let's just say all those guys available at 85. Who are you taking?
Franklin.
I think he goes well before 85. We got a ways to go, but if he was available,
they're all hypothetical. We still got 6 fucking hours. We're getting into the hypothetical.
See, I would scroll down just a little bit further, but that's where again, like, I like Jermaine Burton. I talked about him. I do like Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee. I don't know if we go running back, but there's that possibility. Javon Baker. I know DF talked about Javon Baker, wide receiver out of UCF.
I watched that guy, and man, he could take over games.
He's a baller.
He definitely is. And I kind of like that. I liked what I saw. I'll be honest with you. I didn't research much of him though. I just know I caught a couple of those games, and I was just like, that guy stood out.
I will say on the tight end front, if you guys watched anything that I've done recently, I really like Eric All, and it's not just because he has a cool last name, but I think that he
spells it wrong.
He does spell it wrong. That is correct. But the dude, the only thing with him, and this, he could be off AB's board. The Browns did meet with him, and it could have been a medical evaluation is why they opted to bring him in for a meeting over some other guys or whatever.
Yeah,
but
100% it was
Eric All. I mean, he's got a couple injuries in college, but by all accounts, if he stays healthy, can be a big time playmaker in the NFL.
Had a couple good tight ends out there.
I want to throw this out here. First of all, I want to say my pick would be Franklin Wilson in that order, but Javon Baker, that is the guy who was a receiver at Alabama. I don't think a lot of people know that.
I didn't know that.
Similar to how like Jermaine Burton went to Georgia, then went to Alabama. Javon Baker was at Alabama, went to UCF, and has just balled out every single game. They have like two receivers there, but he was beyond the number one.
Yeah. So if they take a wide receiver in a third, is anybody scared of the round three wide receiver curse?
I have been thinking about that.
Because then you would be sitting here saying that Cedric Tillman's never going to mount to anything, which I think he still very well could. We just, again, last year was definitely a shitstorm for the offense from basically the word go, because we lost Conklin game one. It was in the rain, and then Chubb in week two, and then it just went downhill from there.
It's not like he was a – I know we traded – like we're like we traded DPJ so he could step in there and assume that role. Well, the role he assumed was he took over for a guy who had 80 yards on the year. So it's not like he stepped into a role with a ton of opportunity. He stepped into a role that already wasn't being used.
And that role also came catching passes from, like, what was it, PJ Walker at the time, I think.
Yeah.
It was either him or DTR was filling in. So it was like, it's really hard to get an evaluation on a receiver when that's your quarterback situation for the year because of all the injuries.
Yeah, when we were talking about it earlier, I thought the exact same you did, Blake. It was just like he actually did take it over, and it was the exact same production. It didn't go anywhere.
And I like Tillman's game, man. And even though he didn't put up gaudy numbers, I felt like he still had some big catches for, and I like the way he tacks the ball. Like, he's a grown-ass man when he catches the ball. He goes up and gets it with his hands. The block he had in the Ravens game.
Very
like,
physical.
You know what I mean? Like, I just think he's got a little bit of dog in him. And I just like DF said, and like I've said, he just hasn't been given a ton of opportunity so far for the Browns. It just hasn't been there for him. I think all the receivers will be way more involved this year. I look for the Browns, especially with Nick Chubb not being healthy at the beginning of the year. Man, I think we're going to be very pass heavy. Like, it's going to be very pass heavy, I think.
I've got two picks in if you guys are interested.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Actually, I have...
List them.
I got three picks in. Thank you, Brad Moneymaker. Patriots, Caden Wallace, offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Chargers just took linebacker Junior Colson
out of Michigan.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then Giants at 70 have selected cornerback Andrew Phillips.
Oh, from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Andrew Jackson's boy.
So we're down to what, 14 picks?
Yeah.
We're doing good. Might get out of here by 11:30 or midnight. Very excited.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I'm getting, I know this is going to be surprising to the viewers. I'm like a tiny bit hungry.
I'm just a little behind the scenes. So
like Devontae Devontae just did a full lean and I was like, oh yeah, here we go.
I'm like, I ate a late lunch. So I didn't eat any dinner before I came here. And then I know that's shocking. I'm not just constantly eating. I'm surprised too, but I'm getting, so if we could wrap this thing up, you know, at a decent hour, and I want to get a couple maps in.
Yeah.
Blake. All right. We're going to kind of a little bit go off topic here, but because it's pizza related, does pineapple go on pizza?
No. Pineapple does not go on pizza.
I love pineapple. I will take it all the time. It's delicious. It off-sweets the saltiness of the cheese. Sign me up.
I'm like a big, like...
The only thing that goes on pizza... is meat. Well, besides cheese and sauce.
Okay.
You're not like you don't like any veggies and stuff on there.
I don't like any veggies.
Peppers are cool.
No.
Right? Yeah, I'd be cool.
Pepperoni,
okay.
Sausage, ham.
Sure.
I've even seen like
chicken.
What else do you like on your pizza there, Blake?
What's up?
What do you like on your pizza? What's the only thing that you like on your pizza?
Meats. Bro, meats and cheeses.
Meats and cheeses.
Give me the meats. I want every piece of meat you got in my mouth. Any chance I can get it.
We're still talking about pizza, right? Or, what happened?
What's
going on?
Hey, the later this gets, the looser we're going to get here.
Oh, no. It definitely gets weird. It gets weird late.
Yeah, you run out of stuff to talk about, so you just start.
So what's this? So AB runs a team as if we've... If we're ever won anything, instead of trying to go all in like the Eagles do, at least make it there.
To at
least make it there. Oh, my glasses.
Oh, I don't. Sorry. Duke Trippie must be some sort of such a waste of an organization. Probably, I would guess, a Steelers fan, because they seem very insecure right now this offseason. I mean, seriously, Steelers fans online, they are falling apart. They are losing their collective shits, and it's awesome. I don't know why. I mean, it's probably because they're in that QB purgatory type range right now. And maybe he's a Bengals fan.
But man, any receivers that's left over.
Would you say Bengals?
I think it's about jersey next year. I don't know, man.
There's no way people are actually like,
you're trying to be nice.
There's no way you're that dumb in real life. This has to just be an internet thing. There's no way you walk around. Cause if you are, you're like drooling and like walking into walls. Like there's no way you say that in like, and you're an actual like contributing member to society.
So he talked about how the Eagles go all in, right? Okay. So to anybody listening at this point in time, Cleveland's actually building a team. I've said it before in the voicemail. I've said it before when I was on my episode with Josh. Cleveland's building a team. You need consistency up top, Andrew Berry. You need consistency as a head coach, Kevin Stefanski. The offensive coordinators are going to change. The defensive coordinators are going to change. The ball boys are going to change. You need consistency. One of the reasons why Philadelphia is the way it is because Jeffrey Lurie hasn't left. Howie Roseman is still there, and he got sent away when Chip Kelly was there. He got put in what Philly fans call as the other part of the office, in a closet, came back, and has now become one of the best GMs to ever touch a contract, touch a pen, to get what's needed to get done. If you're going to say Andrew Berry is not going all in, please go look at the previous regimes of the Cleveland Browns.
Amen.
Right. Yep.
100%.
Ray Farmer, really? Ugh. Eric Mangini, really? 0-16, do you really want to go through that again? Like, y'all crying, complaining about how Andrew Berry's not doing anything, and he's been the most consistent GM that I've ever seen in my 29, almost 30 years of life in a Cleveland Browns organization. So before you compare what Andrew Berry's not doing to what another team is doing, please go look at the facts. There's a reason why Pittsburgh, Baltimore are always in the doggone playoffs because they're consistent. Pittsburgh has only had two head coaches since I've been alive.
Yeah.
Green Bay has only had three quarterbacks since they freaking ever came into existence. Some teams have consistency. Andrew Berry is building that. You don't see nobody in Detroit crying and complaining about 0-16 no more, do you?
Nope.
No, they're rallying around their team and riding or dying for the team. So if you're going to ride or die for the Cleveland Browns, shut your mouth, put on your gear, and do what you need to do. And this is coming from somebody who just became a Cleveland Browns fan officially last year, pretty much when Deshaun Watson got on the freaking team. But I've watched the Cleveland Browns my whole entire life, as I said in my episode. So before you go say Cleveland's not going all in, please go tell me which GM, owner, coach, ball boy, mailman for the Cleveland Browns was ever all in before Andrew Berry. Because none of the so-called cap casualties have happened with the $250 million quarterback. None. We've restructured everybody, got everybody where we needed to get. So please, shut your mouths, buckle up for the ride that the Cleveland Browns are about to take you on, and realize that they're actually building something consistent. Rome was not built in a day. This isn't New England. This isn't the Colts. They all had consistency. Learn to live with it. Some stuff will suck. But right now, this is the best damn Cleveland Browns team I've ever seen. Get with it or get lost.
Preach.
Yeah. All right. That's great, man. And I've been saying that same crap to people. Like, oh, you know, Andrew Berry, he doesn't know how to build a team. Browns won't be good until they get rid of these guys. I'm like, Andrew Berry just built a roster that won 11 games, could have been 12. With 26% of the cap on IR.
Yeah.
Not how many teams can do that?
Listen, we've gone to the playoffs 2 of the 4 years he's been the GM. The year we didn't we didn't make the playoffs the year Baker got hurt. So with an injured quarterback, and we didn't make the playoffs with the year our quarterback was suspended and we were playing with a backup. And then we did make the playoffs the year with 5 different quarterbacks. So don't tell me he hasn't done anything. Like he said, Rome's not built in a day. Consistency matters in the NFL. And you know how you can tell Andrew Berry is good? He's starting to get like a tree. You know what I mean? Like the guy, like we are getting compensatory picks and stuff because people are taking people off of his staff to their team, and we're getting picks for it because the league respects what Andrew Berry does. So it's starting to become the point where if you've worked with Andrew Berry, you're affiliated with Andrew Berry, you can get a job in our organization because we know Andrew Berry knows what he's doing. Like Minnesota, people are thinking in Minnesota having a good draft. Their GM was in Cleveland. That's a Cleveland guy. He was with AB. So it's crazy to me. He says, hey, guys, Andrew Berry is doing better than our past, so we should be happy that he hasn't made a move to improve this team since the last year's trade deadline.
What?
Guess I didn't. Fucking hate stupid people.
This is what's wrong with people on the internet is they just say, there's no way this is a serious person. I mean, did Andrew Berry go through all of free agency and do nothing? Did he not help us bring in all those new coaches? Like,
well, they were not driving,
just get Jerry Jeudy.
They were
for a fifth and a sixth.
They were driving that point home on something that I was listening on the way here. You look at the array of general managers, okay? And when you look at a general manager, they got to do a couple things. They got to do free agency. They have to do trades. They have to do the draft. Some excel at other parts better than others. It basically what this guy's saying. Yeah, sure. Maybe his lower end draft picks need to be better, but he's engineered some amazing trades. He seems to be good at getting free agents to sign here when he's got the money. And the back end draft picks, who's the best at doing it? Like, I don't know. Does anybody consistently turn out third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks all the time? I don't think anybody does. You hit a couple here and there. Maybe like Philadelphia Eagles, Harry Roseman. He probably does. He's probably the best at it at the draft.
Yes.
Other than that, like who else would be the Harry Roseman?
Listen, the half the league's undrafted.
Yeah.
If that wouldn't be the case if all the GMs were good at drafting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If every GM hit on every pick, the whole league would be drafted players and the bad players wouldn't get drafted. And all these players that make up half the league would have been drafted. The draft is a crapshoot, which is why we on this show haven't, like, if you can give up draft capital to go get proven NFL players, I do it every single time.
And to your guys' point, please, for the people at home, tell me where Andrew Berry's from. Tell me what tree he came from.
Right. Yeah, the Harry Roseman.
Yes, he came from the Eagles.
So that's why he would, I mean, you only emulate what you're going to do. Justin and I talk about music all the time. Usually your sound is what you're influenced by. If I like 21 Pilots and I like Beastie Boys, guess what you're going to be hearing? Some kind of conglomeration of that, right?
It's true.
And it's the same thing with sports. You got guys that you look up to or you learn from, and that's what you take on, and then you just develop it in your own way. And I don't know anybody that hits 7 out of 7 picks every year. It's no such thing.
Well, there's two teams operating at a level like above everybody else in terms of cap management and paying their players, and somehow, I mean, we're spending more money than everybody else, but we're still in the cap. It's us and the Eagles.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. Like he said, we AB was in Philadelphia, came to Cleveland, and there's a reason we're the only two teams who are operating at that level. We're light years ahead of the other 30 teams in terms of how we're managing the cap and what we're doing. And it helps. I mean, Jimmy Haslam has endless amounts of cash on hand. So this person says, he just thinks it's Madden. He didn't move up to take somebody who turns out you don't get to turn off trade denial and you know, you don't just get to turn it off and just make teams pick what you want to do. Turns out you got to have teams that are willing to play ball. You're not going to say, hey, you're not going to move from 54 up to 10. You know what I mean? Like that trade doesn't exist.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee.
Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
He said, I would have been fine if they moved up for Newton, Mitchell, or DeJean, or moved back and took Hall, Rosegarden, or Kingsley. We drafted Hall! You would have been fine if we moved back to get him.
And that's the thing, especially the later you go in the draft. And I mean, even in the second round where we were, you know, end of the second, the need for teams to move up to grab a guy isn't anything close to what it is like in the first round or the early part of the second round to try to get up and get somebody before somebody else. Those guys are kind of already gone, and now it's just kind of playing the board. And
you're also assuming that these guys would have been there. When you trade up, it's a crapshoot. When you trade back, it's a crapshoot. They could have been not there. I mean, we did so many mock drafts just to do this episodes we did.
Forget this guy.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Fucking idiot. But,
yes, for sure. But we spent too much time addressing him.
We hear the same thing from the same people, right? It's like, oh, well, once the draft set and you look at it and you say, oh, well, we could have drafted up that guy up there, but he might have not been available at that point. You can't just... go up sometimes and get it.
Blake said, you can't just turn off trade denial. I mean, last night when the Chargers got on the clock, they took that thing down to the bottom of the ticker, because I know they were trying to figure out a good trade, because they were like, hey, somebody's got to want to come up here and get a quarterback, right? We're going to take a tackle at some, you know, we just need a tackle.
Yeah, the Browns did field calls, but they didn't work out for some reason, man. So you won't know. You know,
we got the player we wanted who can come in and play. Alan Puckett says he signs all-star players before their value goes up. Miles is the fifth highest paid edge rusher, not first, and Njoku is like the eighth highest paid tight end. He set the – I mean, people like to freak out about Deshaun's contract. Yes. He's like barely top 10 highest paid quarterback now.
Ninth. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been saying this for years now. He sets the market instead of chases it. That's awesome.
And that's what he specializes in. He's great with a cap. He signs free agents, and he seems to get the right guys. But I mean, the draft is like, if you take a look at the three things I mentioned, it's not the highest one that he does.
It says some Browns fan would find a way to complain after a Super Bowl win. I said that before.
I've said that too.
If we won the Super Bowl, they would complain that we were going to lose the parade. Yeah. Did you have something? I saw the paper go up. We got quite an elite, high technical system up here when they want to say something.
So, touching on the Andrew Berry point, he was here during the Ray Farmer times, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was.
He was here. It was horrible. Went to Philadelphia, learned, came back, and is excelling the same way the Eagles are. The Eagles just signed Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown to extensions, on top of paying Jalen Hurts last year. So they did that before CeeDee Lamb, before Justin Jefferson, and before Ja'Marr Chase. Andrew Berry's been doing the same thing. He paid David Njoku. Yeah, we all thought it was a little bit crazy based on what he did, but it's paying off. He's going ahead and covering Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, exactly.
For 3 years to make sure that, hey, we got a wide receiver here in case Amari falls off a cliff in 2 years. And also, one thing people I feel like forget, the salary cap is going to increase because finances are going to increase in the NFL in total. So this whole salary cap hell that people are pending, yeah, it'll eventually come to hit Cleveland at some point in time, but it's not going to be recent. I mean, it's not going to be no time soon. So stop complaining. Seriously, please.
The other guy that he learned from too is Bill Pullian. That's when he first started, and Bill Pullian was a great GM in the league, and he's had a lot of great guys kind of bring him along. So
I just think it's crazy that after all the decades that we spent watching this team suck and being a dumpster fire year after year, regime after regime, and just saying, gosh, I wish we could get consistency, right? And now we finally have it, and it's good. Like, it's very, very good. Like I said, guys, we made the playoffs last year in a situation that most teams would have been lucky to win 6 or 7 games.
Yep.
That would have been a great year given what we were handed last year.
I did a whole solo episode about how the Browns are no longer a dumpster fire. Like, there's a reason why half the league, like, that makes the playoffs 1 year, the next year they don't make the playoffs. There's, you know what I mean? Like, if you ever go, half of the teams go from like first in their division to last. Like, there's so much parity because of free agency and the way the draft is set up. There's teams every year that are going top to bottom. Okay. So the fact that our worst season in the last 4 years is what? 9 wins? Is that our worst season under Stefanski?
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that 21?
Do you remember there's a time where we won 0?
Yeah.
And then one. I'm not saying just because we're better than we used to be means we should settle for that and be happy with 7 wins. But let's not forget then we also have 2 11 win seasons in that time frame. So you couple that together, like I've said on my solo episode, we are one of only 3 teams or something. We have 3rd or 4th most 11 win seasons in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, so put that in perspective.
I like the way they look at things too. Like, they look at the end of the season. They say, okay, that season is done. We need to get better the next season, but it's not with what we had. It's just, we need to take that team that's going to be assembled and turn it into a winner as well. So they're not always just relying on last year and that thought process. Maybe all teams are like that, but I feel like it's refreshing that I'm hearing it from the team that I follow.
Well, and the thing, I know Andrew Berry said this in his earlier press conference this offseason about how, you know, they were talking about something with like roster, getting guys to stay and create consistency and all that stuff. And he was saying, honestly, you got to take every year as its own roster. Like, there's so much turnover every year. As long as you have your core group of guys in place from year to year, you're going to turn over the bottom half of that roster year in and year out. And we see that all the time where it's like, okay, well, Anthony Walker's out, Jordan Hicks is in, and, you know, Mike Ford's out and Tony Brown is in, and, you know, you just keep turning over. And that's why you got to create the culture with your core group of guys so that whenever the other part of that roster keeps bringing in new faces and new people into the locker room, it's immediately like, oh, I'm in a winning locker room right now. Like, this isn't an F around room.
Yep.
Boys, I don't want to jinx us here, but I just want to point out we are a few picks away
10.
From the Cleveland Browns. And Roman Wilson's still there. Troy Franklin's still there. We still got talent.
So I'm looking. We're 10 picks away from the Browns. So recap real quick. I don't remember where we left off. Okay.
Andrew Phillips, I think.
Yep, Andrew Phillips, cornerback out of Kentucky to the Giants. Isaiah Adams, tackle out of Illinois to the Cards. Trevin Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky to the Panthers. Cooper Beebe, guard to the Cowboys. Kind of surprised they didn't go running back. Like you mentioned, they need one. Blake Corum still out there.
They keep passing on it.
Yeah. They learned the hard. They took a running back at 4 a few years back, and he was very, very good for a few years. Don't get me wrong.
He's back on the roster.
Yeah. Braylon Trice, Ed Rusher out of Washington to the Falcons. Kieran Amagaji. Amagaji, we can't pick him now. Tackle to the to the Bears. I know. That was somebody who was on a lot of people's radar for the Browns. I know that.
Yeah.
Dude's like a mountain. If we started him and DeJuan Jones, we'd have huge freaking tackles.
I would have liked that. That would have been good.
Never mind. That's the last few picks. Then if you look at who's on the clock coming up, you got the Broncos. Is wide receiver a need for them?
No, I'll leave that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they just lost Judy. They still got Sutton and Mims?
They just signed a elite level franchise or drafted elite level franchise quarterbacks.
So yeah, they want to get them some weapons. Then they got the Raiders. They got the Eagles. No. The Cardinals, I'd say no. You got the Bengals coming up. I could see that they got their biggest need at tight end. I don't want them to get the kid out of Texas. I would not want that. Seahawks don't need a receiver. Colts don't need a receiver. I would say Rams don't need a receiver. I think as is, I think the one of the two is going to be available at least. Is that, are you pulling the trigger then? Or are we still? Because I know the tackle that we were all kind of had our eyes on just got picked. So are you keeping tackle on the board? Or are there other ones you wanted?
Let me go to
Broncos picks in.
Or do you get a tight end?
No, at this point, the tackle's on the board. I'm not picking a tackle here.
You know what I mean? Like, we already took our interior lineman.
The only offensive lineman I'd consider here to be Christian Haynes, the guard out of Connecticut. He's still on the board. Thought he was like a second round grade for a lot of people.
I go back to who they met with, and they met with Malachi Corley, Roman Wilson, and
Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton. Yeah, and Troy Franklin. I think if one of those guys are there, like
now, Jatavion Sanders still on the board. And yeah, so is true. TJ Tampa, who's, I mean, they could try to add another cornerback early here if they wanted to.
Denver takes a edge rusher, Jonah Ellis out of Utah.
Yep.
So there's another, man.
Getting close.
Yep.
Could you imagine? Let's just hypothetically again for a minute. Don't break anything back there, man. could you imagine we come into this draft, we don't move, we give up nothing, we just sit where we are, and we come away with Hall, and then we just stay at 85 and somehow get Franklin?
That would be kind of insane.
You know,
that would be so Andrew Berry. That's an Andrew Berry.
If this happens and he pulls it off, it's like he's a wizard almost.
We already know he is.
He is a wizard.
That would be, I think it's the lesser version of it, but that would be very similar to the Greg Newsome and then JOK.
Yeah. Where
it's like you had no bit these two guys.
That's a good point.
Cowboys need to rebuild that OL. They're getting old. I understand that. I get
what they're doing there for sure.
I saw Quorum sitting there. I know they need a running back. Maybe they like.
Now this is one of those drafts where a lot of people I listened to were saying running back's probably going to end up getting pushed down third round and later. And we only saw two go so far and Benson was a third rounder, wasn't he? That was early third. So only one running back in the second.
Brooks and Benson Brooks. So far, yeah.
Gage says, but first round picks are needed. Wham, wham, wham. don't get me wrong. First round draft picks are nice.
Sure.
Okay. But if we revisit, revisit the Deshaun trade for a second. Everybody, all I heard, even from like my own family, we gave up the future.
Yeah.
All this money. If he doesn't work out, this franchise is doomed for the next 20 years. We gave up the future. This is the last draft without a first round draft pick. And in the two drafts since the first year was that draft. So it's really only been like 2 years since he's been on the team. We got first round talent people in DeJuan Jones and Martin Emerson. We just, you know what I mean? Like, who knows? This draft isn't done yet, but like we're going to get first round talent later in the draft, and we're back at square one next year.
Yeah.
And we've kept the entire roster together that we wanted. The money hasn't been an issue. The salary cap is only going to continue. Even if Deshaun doesn't work out, worst case scenario, he comes out next year and is not good or something like that. And it's like, oh man, this guy's just never going to have it. We're right back where we were before we got here. Mm-hmm. We're out nothing. Did you think we weren't going to win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield? So we took a big swing. It didn't cost us look at all the players we could have got with the first round picks. What tells you that, first of all, like you said, the hit rate on first round picks is
43%.
Yeah. So we 43. Maybe would have got one good player if we were lucky.
Yeah. And, you know, the people I love like messing with people online, because if you kind of ask them directed questions to try to understand what they're saying, they usually just stop talking because they really don't know what they're saying. And a lot of people 100%. Are doing the, we don't have first round picks. We need our first round picks. Like you said, gave away the future. And then I'll say, well, how do you feel about Jed Wills? Oh, he's a bum. Maybe we need to get rid of him.
Oh, well, he's a first round pick.
I guess first round picks are really important then, right? Yeah. it's all about, it's how they produce, not where you take them. And that's what Andrew Berry said in his press conference.
Yeah. It just, like, the whole, we gave up the future. The Browns are going to be screwed if he does. They better hope he works out, or they're so screwed. No, we're literally not play another game with Deshaun, and we still have a loaded roster. We have first round draft picks again, and we could go get a quarterback.
My favorite one is, we gave them CJ Stroud. just something interesting that's going on. So Raiders pick is in. Raiders went offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Delmar Glaze.
Oh, and I like Delmar Glaze.
Philly was up. Philly traded the pick.
To the Texans.
So Texans are on the clock.
You know they're not. They can't be in the market for a receiver.
They're wild if they did.
They're loaded.
I would think that they are good at receiver, but.
What do you. Texans, man. They're going to be.
Probably get another tight end.
Corner.
We're approaching our pick.
Yes.
Do we want to play our highlight video?
Oh,
before we get there?
Highlight video, you say?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to take a short break. This is a fun break for you guys, though. I've seen this video, and if you've been a fan of the show for a while, or if you're new to the show and you're trying to get warmed up, watch this. It's very fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically a highlight video of this podcast from its inception.
Highlight / blooper reel.
Yeah. How far back does it go? I haven't watched
episode one.
Episode one.
Guys.
Yes, it starts with episode one.
Guys, episode. I'm
4 years ago.
It's kind of wild how far the show has come. If you weren't watching 4 years ago, this will be, you're going to be like, wow.
You're like, Justin doesn't have a beard. Holy shit.
Yeah. Why are they in this weird room, and why are all the mics covering their faces? And why is there just this tiny little TV in the background? So, you know, we started from the bottom. Now we're here, and it's because of you guys. So we put together this little video. It's really fun. We're going to take a short break, let you guys enjoy this, and then we'll be right back in time for the last couple picks before the Browns. And welcome to the first episode of the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Once again, thanks for listening on this. Today, you know, it's a podcast all about the Browns for fans. You know, we're not experts. We're just, unfortunately, Browns fans, you know, through the highs and the lows. We kind of want to share our thoughts, opinions, passions with you guys. Thanks for joining us on this journey. As you can see, back in the studio, first time in 2 weeks, we're COVID-free, we think, we hope. So we got this brand new table brought to you by Josh. His handiwork, it looks great, so thanks for doing that.
To conclude the first ever, you know, 2020 Dogs Podcast draft for offense, I need a guard, and I really need a left guard, but we don't have any left guards available.
Big thing that's happened since last week, Justin had another baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. You know, just continuing a legacy of Cleveland fanship. hopefully, you know, maybe they'll see something exciting in their years.
Maybe they'll see a win in person one day.
You know, I don't even know if that's how you say his name, but Floyd Womack, that's where I'm at. That's all I ask. If they end up being Baltimore or Steelers fans, they got to get out. They've got to go.
But just so you know, you're getting Floyd Womack, a.k.a. Pork Chop.
My thing is, if we're going to go with a secondary player here, I want Morg. I want Morg over Newsom. If we're going receiver, Bateman, and if we go edge, I mean, there's plenty of good edge rushers out. Aziz is out there. Mm-hmm. That's who the fans wanted.
Yeah.
In our Twitter poll, the scheme he was brought in to implement. And, you know,
with the 26th pick, the Browns take Greg Newsom.
The one guy we didn't want.
All right. And your winner. With 38% of the vote.
Close vote here.
The future quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
Nice.
The good thing about it is, is. We don't have to learn from a loss. We can get better after a win. So, you know, just the mindset of trying to be just a bunch of big, hairy American winning machines is important.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
Don't be an idiot. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Man, Justin's going to watch this and he's going to be like, man, guys, what a mess out. That was my Justin impression.
No, I'm going to pass out. One of the funniest things that's ever happened.
So that's our wrap up of all the other teams' jerseys. Some winners, some losers. I'd like to talk about
time out.
Oh, how long did that happen?
As you can see, this is not Zach Kopp over here to my left today. We have newcomer John Nye. Zach is going to be a dog forever. He just has a very hard, unpredictable, busy schedule right now. And then we got one more left. That was weird.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
Well, what was I saying? Anyways, we got one more to go. Okay, I have Venmo. Buying them now. Tell me more, Daddy. Oh, I meant to send that to my boyfriend. Once purchased, I'd like to forward them to... quite sure where he is. We haven't heard anything.
He's on the milk carton too.
Yeah, right. So hopefully he's all right, but
oh, whoa, John,
where the hell have you been, man?
Oh my god, have you just been at the powerhouse gym for days and days on end? Holy crap,
we've been worried sick about you.
You don't want to know.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. You're saying that the Lions finish ahead of the Packers.
You're really buying into this. Oh, like, you believe this 100%,
I
right?
think this isn't, to me, this is even a hot take.
So
I think Minnesota wins the division. I think the Lions finish second. I think the Packers finish third. And I think the Bears blow. I'd trade just about anything for Russell Wilson. And I threw this out here, these guys. I'd give up Myles Garrett and Odell for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Tell me why I'm wrong. That's got to be nerve-wracking. I wouldn't be able to handle that. I'd be up at 8, and then I'd just be checking my... Man, I'd be calling Verizon. Hey, I don't think my phone's working.
Yeah, I just made sure I had it on ring. I'm like, let me make sure it's on ring. Maybe, you know, I wake up, make sure the volume up every time I wake up.
Yeah, that's what I'd been losing my mind.
Just let us know. Is Blake nuts? Would you guys trade Garrett and Odell for Russell Wilson?
No. No. Silly guy.
Justin has spoken for you all.
Right. He's definitely a physical wide receiver, but he's not very quick. But he's going to be able to maybe get your separation right off the line of scrimmage, but he's not going to be able to outrun anybody.
I think Detroit's thing, like 2 years away, bro. Like, I think they're a slightly better situation. Jets.
He can throw, you know, this guy can turn a 3-yard slant into, you know, a 30-yard completion. So I'm on the Amon-Ra St. Brown train if you guys are.
I'm done.
You know, it's a show by fans. We're not experts, fans for fans. And I really appreciate everybody checking out the first episode.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.